Good morning from the Financial Times. Today is Thursday, April 25th, and this is your FT News Briefing. Meta's financial forecast spooked investors, and the EU stormed the offices of a Chinese company. Plus, the U.S. has started shipping military aid to Ukraine, and Kyiv knows it needs to make the most of it.
I think that nobody in Ukraine is under any illusion that the United States is just going to keep this aid flowing and that it's going to be easy just because it got over this hump.
I'm Sonia Hudson, and here's the news you need to start your day. Meta's revenues jumped by more than 25% in the first quarter and beat expectations. But that wasn't enough to impress Wall Street. Shares dropped by double digits in after-hours trading. That's because the social media company forecasted it would spend more money this year than it initially thought. The extra cash is going to go towards beefing up infrastructure to support its artificial intelligence plans. The fall in Meta's share price highlights the tough position that CEO Mark Zuckerberg is in. He's been trying to keep investors happy and cut costs while at the same time investing in the AI race. The European Union raided the offices of a Chinese company in Poland and the Netherlands. Nuketech manufactures baggage security scanners for airports, and it's owned by the Chinese government. Brussels is investigating the company for violating anti-foreign subsidy rules. It's likely to inflame trade tensions between China and the EU. Here with me to discuss is the FT's Brussels bureau chief, Henry Foy. Hi, Henry.
Hi, Sonia.
So can you lay out exactly what Brussels is investigating Nuketech for?
So this is the first time that they've raided a foreign company under these rules, which allow them to investigate companies they believe are getting unfair subsidies from foreign governments. What they believe is that Nuketech is benefiting from subsidies from the Chinese government, Chinese banks, that would not be allowed under EU laws and that other EU companies could not get from their own governments. And so what they're saying is with these subsidies, Nuketech is able to do business at a price point or in markets that other EU companies can't, and therefore that's distorting the market.
How has China reacted to this? I mean, I can't imagine that they're all too happy about it.
That's right. The Commerce Ministry in China said that it would, quote, take all necessary measures to resolutely safeguard the legitimate rights and interests of Chinese enterprises and called the investigation into Nuketech protectionist and essentially making the EU business environment less attractive. At the same time, the Chamber of Commerce to the EU said that the EU was weaponizing these kind of tools to try to suppress Chinese companies.
And what's the background on Nuketech? Is this kind of coming out of left field or have regulators been looking at it for a while?
So there's been quite a lot of controversy around this company in the past. There's been campaigns by European lawmakers to not buy these products, to use them in airports, because what they say is these are Chinese products. We don't know where the information is going, and on national security grounds, we shouldn't be using them. Some countries have banned the use of them. Lithuania in the EU, Canada is another. This is the first move when the EU has sort of taken on Nuketech on an anti-subsidies platform rather than national security one. And I think we'll see in the weeks and months whether or not the two things are linked or whether this is a pure subsidies investigation and not one related to security.
Yeah, going back to the subsidies and trade investigation, what's the larger context there? I mean, is this just one move in a bigger back and forth between the EU and China?
It's one of a slew of measures and certainly a direction of travel here that Brussels is toughening up in its response to Beijing and what it sees as unfair trade practices. In recent months, we've seen the launch of an investigation into a Chinese train manufacturer for using unfair subsidies. There's an investigation into whether China is using electric vehicle overcapacity to dump those products on European markets. There's been a long battle over things like solar panels and other products that the Europeans say, look, China is not playing fair here, and it is pumping these products into our markets, and they're unfairly subsidized.
What kind of impact will this strained relationship have on trade between China and the EU, do you think?
That's a great question. China is, of course, the most important trading partner for the EU. And despite the geopolitical tensions that we've seen over recent years, both sides have tried to protect that. Olaf Scholz, the German chancellor, was in China just last week, where a lot of the noises coming out of that trip were all about making sure that trade with China and Chinese trade with the EU was protected from other political headwinds. What is very interesting is that Chinese President Xi Jinping is expected to be in Paris next month for a big state visit to see President Emmanuel Macron. I'm pretty sure that that will lend something of a souring to that trip.
Henry Foy is the FT's Brussels bureau chief. Thanks, Henry.
Thanks a lot.
We finally got a look yesterday at how much Boeing's mid-air accident in January cost the plane manufacturer. Short answer, a lot. The first quarter earnings report showed that the company burned through almost $4 billion after slowing production. Boeing said it cut deliveries to focus on quality control. It also paid about $450 million in compensation to customers after a door panel blew out on an Alaska Airlines flight. Moody's downgraded Boeing's senior unsecured debt rating yesterday to one notch above junk. U.S. President Joe Biden signed a bill yesterday that included roughly $60 billion in aid to Ukraine. Officials said that shipments of weapons started right away. And it's been a long time coming. Congress has debated for months on whether to send more military assistance to Ukraine in its conflict with Russia. Here to talk to me about how this funding will impact the war effort is the FT's Chris Miller. Hey, Chris.
Hey there.
Okay, so what does Ukraine expect to be part of this aid package?
Yeah, this is certainly the biggest aid package that the Americans have provided since the war began in February of 2022. So Ukraine is really hoping, and we know with some certainty, that there are definitely going to be artillery shells that Ukraine's frontline units are desperate to get in their hands, as well as interceptors for the U.S.-made Patriot air defense missile systems, which will help Ukraine to shoot down Russian missiles and these attack drones that it sends into cities to strike critical infrastructure, civilian targets. The other things that we're expecting are various armored vehicles that can be used to take troops into battle, to take wounded troops out. Basically, equipment that is going to help frontline soldiers to better defend the front line against an increasingly offensive Russian military at the moment.
Yeah, and can you just get us up to speed on what exactly Ukraine's needs are right now? I mean, how's the war going for them overall?
Yeah, you know, Ukraine has been on the back foot now for at least the last 6-7 months. Russia has since gained the momentum and seized the initiative on the battlefield. And while Congress was debating this military aid package, Russian troops were pressing ahead. And Ukraine was forced to ration the dwindling supply of artillery and rocket shells that it had. When I was out on the front line earlier this month, I was with some commanders who were saying, you know, we are essentially forced to fight with just one hand and the other tied behind our back. And so, you know, we're seeing a Ukrainian military that is suffering from low morale, dwindling supplies, and really desperately needed this U.S. aid package to pass.
Okay, so Chris, once these weapons do get into position, what are analysts saying about Ukraine's prospects going forward?
Yeah, so these weapons are, in the words of a senior Ukrainian official, not silver bullets. Right? There's no magic weapon that's going to turn the tide for Ukraine completely in its favor right now. It is still going to be outgunned and outmanned. And I think one important point to make is that even with these U.S. weapons making it to the battlefield, Ukraine's troops are still going to struggle because they face a manpower shortage. A lot of their soldiers right now are exhausted. They are taking heavy casualties. It really is on Ukraine to find a way to mobilize men. And if it can do that with this military assistance coming into the country, then it stands a chance at stopping the Russians in their tracks this year, rebuilding its military, and potentially start taking back the territory that it's lost.
Now, Chris, like we've been talking about, it really wasn't easy getting this U.S. aid package over the finish line. Europe has also struggled at times to get funding to Ukraine. What are the expectations for more aid coming in the future?
Yeah, that's another big question. I think that nobody in Ukraine is under any illusion that the United States is just going to keep this aid flowing and that it's going to be easy just because it got over this hump. Actually, on the contrary, many people are concerned in Kyiv that another aid package of this size may not come and that they're going to have to rely more heavily on themselves and domestic production and really ramping that up and getting more assistance from Europe. But I think in terms of the United States and where Ukraine stands, the big question is what happens in November with the election.
Chris Miller covers the war in Ukraine for the FT. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, thank you.
You can read more on all these stories at FT.com for free when you click the links in our show notes. This has been your daily FT News Briefing. Make sure you check back tomorrow for the latest business news.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, copyright 2024.